The air in the Dublin office always smelled of expensive roast coffee and the faint, sterile scent of industrial glass cleaner. It's a smell that's supposed to suggest transparency. But after 6 years in the trenches of middle management at O'Sullivan & Associates, I knew better. Transparency was a buzzword we threw into slide decks to keep the shareholders from looking too closely at the cracks in the foundation. I used to believe in the shield. I used to think that the thick employee handbook on my desk was a contract of protection. I was wrong. In that building, policy was just a costume, and power was the only actor that mattered. It started with a whisper in the break room, the kind of conversation that stops the moment a door hinges creak. Siobhan, a junior analyst with more talent in her pinky than the entire executive floor, had been cornered in the archives by Colm. Colm wasn't just a director. He was a legacy hire, the kind of man whose surname matched the gold lettering in the lobby. When she told me what he'd said, the suggestions, the hand on the small of her back that lingered long after the professional boundary had dissolved, I didn't hesitate. I told her we were going to HR. I told her the system was there for a reason. God, I was naive. We walked into the HR suite on the fourth floor, a place of plush gray carpets and muted voices. Deirdre, the head of people, sat behind a desk that cost more than my first car. She had that practiced Irish empathy, the tilted head, the soft "I hear you," the nodding that mimics a heartbeat. She took notes on a yellow legal pad, her pen scratching rhythmically as Siobhan spilled her guts. It felt like a victory. It felt like the gears of justice were finally turning. Deirdre looked us both in the eye and said the words I'll never forget. "We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness. No one is above the code of conduct." The investigation lasted 3 weeks. 3 weeks of fact-finding that felt more like a slow-motion interrogation of the victim rather than the predator. I was called in as a witness, but the questions weren't about what Siobhan told me. They were about Siobhan's performance reviews. They were about whether she'd been sensitive in the past. They were looking for a leak in her character to justify the flood they were about to let in. Every time I tried to pivot back to Colm's behavior, Deirdre would pull a soft, professional smile and say, "We're looking at the holistic environment, Claire. Let's stay on track." The day the outcome was delivered, the sun was splitting the rocks outside, but the boardroom was ice cold. There was no paper trail, no email summary, just a verbal briefing behind closed doors. Deirdre sat there with the managing director, two pillars of the establishment. They told us that while Colm's behavior was misinterpreted, there wasn't enough corroborative evidence to warrant formal action. However, for the sake of team harmony, they decided it was best if Siobhan was moved to the Cork branch. A lateral move, they called it. A career death sentence, we both knew. I watched Colm walk past the glass partition 10 minutes later. He didn't look like a man who had been investigated. He looked like a man who had been groomed for a promotion. He caught my eye and gave a tiny, imperceptible nod. Not of apology, but of victory. He knew the costume had worked. HR hadn't been a sword to strike down the rot. It had been a shield to protect the person holding the checkbook. They hadn't staged an inquiry to find the truth. They'd staged it to see how much it would cost to make the truth go away. I walked out of that building a month later. I left the pension, the prestige, and the sterile smell of glass cleaner behind. I learned the hardest lesson of the corporate world. HR doesn't work for you. They work for the entity. And if you're a threat to the entity's power, they won't save you. They'll just document your exit. I'm done being a witness to the theater. Next time, I'm bringing my own fire.